The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Welcome to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. Today, we'll attempt to sort out the good information from the bad and set the record straight on your good health. Healthcare and wellness issues can be so confusing these days with information constantly changing. Let us help you learn what you need to know. Now, here are your hosts, Dr. Neil Nathan with co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum.
Welcome back to the Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, and I'm joined by my good friend, esteemed colleague, and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. But we will often be referring to ourselves as simply Jacob and Neil. I would also like to thank our sponsors, Research Nutritionals, BioResource, and Metagenics, for making this program possible. Since I personally use these products daily in my practice, as our program unfolds, I'll be mentioning some of them when appropriate. If you have any questions for us during the show, please call 1-866-472-5792 or email me at neilnathan@earthlink.net. If you'd like to consult with me, please see my website, neilnathanmd.com. If you want to make an appointment, see that website or gordonmedical.com. And for Jacob, endfatigue.com is his very extensive website with information and opportunities for consultation. So, today's program is a continuation or part two of fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, highly effective treatments, an overview. And today we're going to focus on my big six, little six approach. What these words refer to is a simplified way of thinking about the various components of chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. Last week, we provided an overview of Dr. Teitelbaum's SHINE model. The big six in my model refers to six of the most common components of chronic illness. Adrenal and thyroid, which we talked quite a bit about last week, and we will devote our entire program to next week. But also, magnesium deficiency, sex hormone deficiency, food allergy, and overgrowth of toxic bacteria and yeast in the gut, which we also talked about somewhat at our last show. Afterwards, just to complete a quick overview, the little six, the six next most common components, include hypoglycemia, infections, especially Lyme disease and viral illness, mold toxicity, methylation difficulties, and dental issues. So what I just glossed over is a huge amount of material, and we'll get to that in just a second. Before I get started, I'd like to respond to a question which we received by email, in which the caller hoped that we would clarify the difference between chronic fatigue and chronic fatigue syndrome, or ME, which stands for myalgic encephalitis. So I'd like Jacob to have a shot at this as well, but from my perspective, these illnesses, chronic fatigue versus chronic fatigue syndrome, represent different points on the same spectrum. Chronic fatigue is the earlier phase of these deficiencies and imbalances, which we'll be talking about today, and chronic fatigue syndrome is the more severe manifestation as these get worse. The key, for me, to both of these is clearly defining for each patient, individually, which components apply to them and treating it. So the models which Jacob and I have developed are intended to do just that. I do not think that it's useful or helpful to put different labels on these conditions because, again, the evaluation process and treatment is the same. Jacob, your thoughts on that question?
I think a lot of that's right on the mark. An important point is to realize that fatigue is not unhealthy. It's a normal, healthy response that just says rest. So if you're having normal day-to-day fatigue, that's fine. Stressed. But if it's getting to the point where it's persisting, it's interfering with your life, then it represents an energy crisis, and you need to look for the cause. When it gets to the point that you also have widespread pain and trouble sleeping, then you basically tripped a circuit breaker, and that also then opens up a whole new can of issues that need to be addressed. So I think it's all part of the same spectrum, but needs to be dealt with differently. I view ME, CFS, and fibromyalgia, three words for the same mix of symptoms. I think chronic fatigue syndrome is a very, very poor choice of words. It's like calling diabetes chronic fat person syndrome or some stupid thing like that. And because of that, the people with ME want to distance themselves from that name, understandably. But basically, ME, fibromyalgia, two names, same process.
Yeah, we're in agreement. You know, I was thinking that one of our colleagues, Dr. Paul Chaney, has taken that as a that fatigue as a protective mechanism to yet another level. On some of his patients, which are extremely ill, he's discovered that the body uses fatigue as a way of preventing the body from having what he calls oxygen toxicity, meaning that when the body gets really, really compromised, it's so unable to metabolize that fatigue is the body's way of keeping itself from blowing itself off the highway.
Exactly. It's just like a circuit breaker in the home.
Yeah.
When you blow a fuse or trip a circuit breaker, it's annoying. But it's there to protect the house from harm in the face of overwhelming stress on the electrical system. And to me, when I had CFS and fibromyalgia, it took me out of the game so I wouldn't hurt myself. And I think Paul is right on the mark. I don't consider it an outside invader. Like a circuit breaker in the home, it's a protective mechanism on our body's part. So there's nothing outside that needs to be fought. You just need to turn the circuit breaker back on and get rid of the things that are overloading the system.
Right. In a more global way, symptoms are usually not bad. They represent the body's way of trying to tell its owner, there's something here we need to be looking at. And often people feel betrayed by their body, or they feel that their body's letting them down somehow. But really, that's a message that needs to be honored, not ignored.
Yes, and if you look at pain, for example, pain to me is like the oil light on our body's dashboard. It's telling us that something needs attention. Now, you wouldn't want to get rid of the oil light. That, you know, it's annoying when it goes off, but then you put oil in the car and the pain goes away. And when these different symptoms come in, they're like your oil light and your, you know, the different warning lights on your system. If you give your body what it's saying it needs and stop doing what it says stop, those symptoms go away and you feel healthier and you're safer for having had that warning.
Absolutely. Now, having said what we've just said, I'd like to add a more recent perspective, and I'd also like your thoughts about it. When we started this work, our models were really spot on and highly effective in treating these conditions. They still are. But two things have happened since we developed these models quite a few years ago. First, many physicians have studied with Jacob and myself and learned how to do these evaluations and treatments. So we're now seeing their failures, meaning that the patients who come to visit us now are sicker and they required a lot more thought and effort to tease apart the factors that are causing their illness. And second, as we're going to discuss in a later show, the world that we're living in is increasingly toxic. In the last 15, 20 years, we have more chemicals, more heavy metals, more electromagnetic exposures, and so on, so that more and more of our patients are succumbing to these illnesses. So personally, in my practice now, which is the eye of Jacob's Shine protocol, the infectious component or the immune component is much more prevalent in my patients at this time. For me, especially Lyme disease with its co-infections, one of my recent emails asked me to please address this issue, so I'm going to start doing it now. Again, we'll have a whole show devoted to it. But for me, Lyme disease, co-infections of Lyme disease, and mold toxicity play a much bigger role in the patients that I'm now seeing, and they require a much more elaborate treatment program to achieve healing than what we used to go through. Again, Jacob, your thoughts?
Well, absolutely. But what people need to realize is that chronic Lyme disease, it's not a call for more and more escalating dosing of antibiotics. It is one of literally dozens of infections that can blow a fuse, including HSV-6, CMV, and literally dozens of infections. So I view chronic Lyme disease as basically post-Lyme disease fibromyalgia. And for that, whether you use the SHINE protocol or whether you're using the Big Six, Little Six approach, you're going to be looking at the same thing. And you do that, then the antibiotics are going to help you. But if you just keep trying to pound your body with more antibiotics, and especially if you don't treat the secondary candida that it causes, it's a slippery slope. And your Lyme disease, though initially getting better, will then get worse and worse and worse. And that's a big part of why it becomes and stays chronic in so many people.
Yeah, I would echo that as what Jacob is saying, and I'm going to use different language, is that this becomes more complicated. And what all of these things have in common, whether this is triggered by a viral infection or stress, whether it is triggered by Lyme disease or mold toxicity, the bottom line is that the immune system of our patient gets compromised. And in a state of immune compromise, then all of the bugs that the patient has been exposed to previously have a field day. We call those opportunistic infections.
But I call them hitchhikers.
Yep. Hitchhikers, well, that's what they are. But then it becomes tricky to go which hitchhiker is bothering the immune system right now or today. And this then becomes just a huge piece of our task, which has become now more complicated. My bottom line to this discussion is that when people are told by their physician that they have fibromyalgia, they need to look at all of this stuff so that you can't just assume that you don't have Lyme disease or mold toxicity. In fact, it is likelier than not that these are players that need to be addressed as we put together, as Jacob is saying, a much more comprehensive picture to treat all of it. We need to, again, using my model today, Big Six, Little Six, we need to look at all of these components so that we strengthen the body so that the immune system can start to deal with this. So right now I'd like to take a moment to tell you about one of our fine sponsors. I'm particularly delighted to welcome, as a sponsor of our program, Researched Nutritionals. Doctors like myself turn to Researched Nutritionals for its specialty immune, energy, and detox formulations to promote a healthier quality of life for our toughest patients. Known for conducting clinical research on its formulations, Research Nutritionals is a favorite amongst clinicians. I use their products on a daily basis as a component of my treatment program. For more information on Research Nutritionals, go to researchnutritionals.com or call 800-755-3402. That's 800-755-3402. And particularly in terms of chronic fatigue, I'm going to mention again their particular products, ATP Fuel, which helps to heal the mitochondria, and Ribose Cardio, which contains D-ribose, L-carnitine, and malic acid, which are major components of improving fatigue. So with that, let's go to a break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
You read about it in health news every day.
Cancer rates are going up. Obesity in the U.S. is on the rise. Heart disease and diabetes are top killers every year.
We can follow the advice of our doctor, but cravings persist. Weight goes up and energy is still down. It doesn't have to be like this. Tune in for Body Balance Talk with your host, Jeannie Schmidt, along with Lucy and Madeline. You'll learn how you can work with your body to feel better and look better, too. Body Balance Talk airs live every Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern Time, 11 a.m. Pacific Time on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. I'd like to mention that you can download Voice America at their mobile app, and you can also find us on iTunes, Google Play Store, Kindle, all for free. You can archive this show in case you'd like to save it and listen to it another time. If you just joined us, we've been discussing fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and my Big Six, Little Six approach, described in more detail in my book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Fibromyalgia, Chronic Fatigue, Chronic Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses. There are millions of patients suffering with both fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. These are no longer rare illnesses. They have actually become epidemic. Perhaps you or a friend or a loved one has that diagnosis. So hopefully we can provide you with some useful information in this area. So, in fact, I would like to expand on our understanding about how global the concepts that Jacob and I are talking about and understanding most chronic illness. Many experts have come to realize that the way in which chronic illness manifests is related to the age at which the individual is exposed to these biochemical insults. For example, if exposed at birth or soon thereafter, these same imbalances can cause autism. Later in life, it can manifest as fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue syndrome, and still later in life, as a neurodegenerative disease like Parkinson's or dementia. So I'd like our listeners to understand that the model we're talking about is not limited in any way to just fibromyalgia or chronic fatigue, but it'll actually help you understand and treat most chronic illness, and there are things that we want to think about in those contexts. Again, Jacob's thoughts about that? Okay. Moving along, let's talk about magnesium, the third in my Big Six formulation. Magnesium deficiency, it turns out, for reasons we do not quite understand, is extremely chronic in all, literally, chronic illnesses. We discovered working at the Scheele Institute many years ago that we saw profound levels of chronic fatigue in virtually all of our patients with pain and depression, and then we realized it was present in virtually all chronic illness. Again, for reasons that I don't think we understand, the kidney becomes leaky to magnesium, and the body begins to get depleted. So it is really important that you look at magnesium in terms of both measuring its deficiency and correcting that. Sometimes that needs to be intravenous and sometimes oral. And we now have other means of building up our magnesium as well. Jacob?
Well, absolutely, because the thing is that if you look at the American diet, an unprocessed diet, say a Chinese diet, has 600 milligrams of magnesium in it. That's a normal daily amount in a diet. And after food processing, the average American diet is down to about 250 to 260 milligrams. That means you've lost half of the magnesium. The blood testing, since it's not in the blood, it's in the cells, it's not in the liquid, is not reliable. And Mildred Seelig, who is the godmother of magnesium research, noted even 30 years ago that the blood test will not even start to go low until you have lost 30% of your total body magnesium. So picture that the test would be normal until you lost 2 feet in height. it would be kind of, well, that's not a good test. Now, the problem with magnesium is a lot of people get diarrhea, especially if they have the gut infections, when they try to supplement the magnesium by mouth. So there's a sustained-release magnesium that's made by Jigsaw, sustained-release magnesium that my patients love, and that we have it on our website at endfatigue.com. Another good way to get magnesium effect is to do a hot bath with Epsom salts, where you take 2 cups of Epsom salts. You can get like 12 pounds for $9 or something at Costco. Add some lavender oil if you want to make it even more relaxing, and soak. You'll find that the magnesium does soak into the muscles and can be very helpful in that way as well. Just be careful when you get up. A lot of people with fibro have low blood pressure issues, and the magnesium will help relax everything so the blood pressure will drop a bit more. So get up slowly in the beginning. Make sure your legs are seaworthy. But the magnesium, arguably the most important nutrient in the body and the most important nutritional deficiency, affecting over 300 reactions.
I would echo all of that. Magnesium is critical in all muscle and nerve functioning. And, you know, just as a quickie overview, the symptoms of magnesium deficiency are fatigue, muscle cramps, muscle spasms. A unique symptom that often points in that direction is that when you get treatments, whether they're massage therapy, physical therapy, chiropractic, or osteopathic, treatments don't hold. In other words, you can feel better very quickly, and then very quickly that treatment wears off. Cognitive dysfunction, difficulty with focus, memory, concentration, and nerve dysfunction can all be from magnesium deficiency. So I wanted to emphasize that as one of our biggies. Next, we have the concept of sex hormone deficiencies. And for women, this represents estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone, and for men, primarily testosterone. Again, this is a highly controversial area in medicine, as women have learned that the synthetic hormones made by synthetic pregnant mare's urine, which is what Premarin stands for, was a key player in a major increase in breast cancer in the body, and its cousin, Provera, which is synthetic progesterone, did not add anything to that at all. So those things have been mostly taken off the market now. It's not completely so. But for reasons that I never understood, bioidentical hormones have been available for 20, 25 years now. And I did never understand why I would prescribe a synthetic horse estrogen when a virtual bioidentical human estrogen was always available. So measuring these hormones I consider to be very important in terms of really basic components of increasing health, and then treating them with bioidentical options is the next piece to that. So for women, I like to start by measuring their estrogen, progesterone, and testosterone level, and for men, testosterone level, as well as their estrogen, and men do make estrogen, and a hormone called sex-binding hormone, which sex-binding globulin hormone, which is what we call a carrier protein for testosterone, meaning the body binds testosterone to that particular binder, and then it gets carried throughout the body. If an individual has an unusually high amount of sex hormone-binding globulin, they may have on blood tests what looks like a normal testosterone level, but what's available to them is much, much, much less. So these are things that need to be looked at early on and addressed because they're very treatable and often result in significant improvement. again, Jacob?
Well, one of the things that folks are going to see over and over during the show is I rely less on testing. I frankly have learned that a lot of the testing that we do, one, is it's not reliable, whether you do it at a standard lab or not. I still remember when I started internal medicine and I would get two profiles in each of my patients. I'd get one general chemistry and then another cholesterol profile. And what I found was that routinely, this is one of the two major national labs, they had a cholesterol in both panels, and there would be 20 to 160 points apart between the two tubes of blood drawn, same person, same time. And I called the head of the lab, and I said, you've got a problem. You know, your tests are totally unreliable. I mean, same tube of blood, 160 points apart on two readings for cholesterol. And they fixed it immediately. From that day forward, when I ordered both panels, they only would send me one result. They suppressed the second one. That's how they fixed it. So I have a bit of a skepticism about tests. I find tests very helpful. I do a lot of them. But I'm more likely to treat the person than the blood test. And the same applies with the sex hormones, especially in women. The way I will tell if a woman needs estrogen is I will ask a simple question. Are your symptoms of fibro worse around your menses, specifically fatigue, trouble sleeping, headache, and muscle pain? If the answer is yes, I'm going to give the bioidentical hormones, estrogen and progesterone, using Biest and progesterone, as opposed to relying on the blood test, because the blood test will not even start to drop with the FSH-LH until 5 to 12 years into the woman being estrogen deficient. Now, in men, I will rely more on the actual testosterone level, but I'm not going to aim for it to be in the normal range. I'm going to aim for it to be in the mid to 70th percentile of the normal range. So I'm going to be adjusting more based on symptoms and how is that working for you? What's your body telling me? Using the blood tests as secondary measures.
Well, Jacob and I are not going to agree on that particular point completely. I do find measurements helpful. I do find that they help me to know what somebody needs. I would agree that they are not accurate enough to completely guide me, so that I do then follow the clinical response to what I'm giving. So my comment would often be, this tells me what you need. Now I have to figure out by your clinical response how much I need to give you to do this properly. So we're partly in agreement, and I tend to be, there are particular labs that I think do a particularly good job. I'll even be specific. I use Genova's hormonal assay. I have found over the years that to be quite accurate in defining well what people need or what they don't need. I would also agree that some of the main labs, like LabCorp or Quest, do not do a good job on this, and that I really don't know what to make of their results when I get it.
Taken with a grain of salt is how I do it. I think Genova and Dr. Wright's lab, both of those are excellent labs. And the funny thing is that usually, as I mentioned, both the labs and the symptoms, if done well, will point to the same thing. So if somebody's having urinary urgency, frequency, burning, and a cloudy urine, or somebody has a urine culture that shows infection, they both point to the same thing.
Okay.
So it's not that the one is right or wrong. It's just different people, different tools, same result.
We'll continue this discussion. First, I'm going to again let our listeners know about another wonderful sponsor for our program. The doctors and health practitioners are always on the look, as are Jacob and I, for the finest medications available to help our patients. Fortunately, I have found a wonderful source of very effective remedies located right here in Northern California. Company is BioResource. For 16 years, they've distributed German-made natural medicines called the Pacana homeopathic line of remedies for superior detoxification and organ support. These medications are produced at an FDA-inspected laboratory facility to assure quality and safety and sold through licensed health practitioners. To cleanse the body and reduce chronic fatigue symptoms specifically, BioResource provides a detoxification and drainage kit which contains three powerful pekana remedies. Apohepat supports liver and gallbladder function, Renalix detoxifies the kidneys, and Itiris helps the lymph system work smoothly to ensure proper excretion of toxins. So I recommend health practitioners find out more by contacting BioResource at 800-203-3775. That's 800-203-3775. Please go to their website at BioResourceIncInc.com. Then let's go to break.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
By making some important changes in your life, you can move forward from where you are to where you wish to be. It is becoming the change you want to see. It can be a sort of experiment, if you will. On Moving Forward, Wellness One Step at a Time, your host, Dr. Serena Wadhwa, will introduce you to ideas that can help improve your health, relationships, and finances. You probably have at least one part of your life that needs improving. Make an appointment now to join us every Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, 1 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan at earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show, Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you've just joined us, we've been discussing fibromyalgia, chronic fatigue, and my Big Six, Little Six approach to treating those conditions. And in our last discussion, we were talking about sex hormones and the difficulty in measuring them accurately and treating them properly. And I think I'd like to comment that while Jacob and I have slightly different models, and we will be disagreeing with each other regularly throughout our programs, I hope listeners will understand that in principle, we're on the same page. In fact, when I first met Jacob, I believe, Jacob, this was at an American Academy of Pain Management meeting. We were both delivering lectures on fibromyalgia, and I was surprised that anyone was doing what I was. So I came up to Jacob, whose lecture came first, and began talking with him, and it was just a couple of seconds that we were kind of jabbering away like magpies. Like, oh, wow, you do that? Well, I found this. And I found that we just kind of sat down on the back of the room, like on the floor, and 8 hours later, we were still jabbering away, and that's kind of how we became friends. Now, that's my memory of this. So, memory.
Well, it's funny because you agreed with me so much that I knew you must be brilliant. but it's really amazing at conferences, like a lot of the CFS conferences, especially, where people in the audience are listening to the people on the podium and they're saying, "This person is giving us no useful information and has no clue." And then the people out, in the audience that are listening, we go outside and. And we sit and we chat together, and like say, we'll be sitting there swapping information until 2 in the morning. And that's really where the learning is happening for the health practitioners. We're teaching each other, okay, well, what do you find, and how's your experience, and how do you handle this?
well, this whole field is still under development. We were creating it as we go along, and we did kind of in the beginning. So, listeners, you're going to notice that we do not agree on every little piece of this puzzle. We invite you to learn and study more. What we do agree on is what the important puzzle pieces are, and that's where Jacob and I have always been in very close agreement. And what's remarkable about that is that even in conventional medicine, if you study anything, you will discover that no matter what subject you're going to research, you're going to find markedly different, even opposing points of view on pretty much everything. That's, to me, why the Internet is so difficult to navigate. If conventional medicine can't agree on anything, neither can alternative medicine. So part of the whole focus of this program is to provide you a solid basis from which you can study and learn. Anyway, let's move on a little bit. We talked about chronic yeast infections last week, so that's another part of our big six. So the last of the big six is food allergy. And when I went to medical school, I was told that food allergy was limited to what are called immediate reactions, meaning things like anaphylactic reactions where you eat strawberries or shrimp or peanuts and you get hives or stop breathing very shortly thereafter. And that's all. And it was actually only at a medical meeting many years later that a number of my colleagues looked at me and went, "You don't work with food allergy? That's really important." And I began to study and read about it and realized that it was huge, particularly in areas of fatigue, joint pain, cognitive impairment, a host of other symptoms. Food allergy really plays a huge role. I mean, I would say personally that, forget the major issues of fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue, but I would go so far as probably 70% of all joint pain is caused by food allergy. And I know that might be a radical statement, but having practiced for 43 years, I think that's actually fairly accurate. I mean, I can't count the people who were told that they had arthritis, which is a degenerative joint disease, when actually what they had was arthralgia, which is a painful joint caused by food allergy. And when they stopped eating corn or milk or dairy, gluten particularly, sugar, citrus, they were shocked to discover that their pain went away after a few days of avoiding that food. So I really want to let folks really pay attention to what they're eating, because what we're really looking at are what are called delayed sensitivity reactions. These mean that up to 72 hours after you eat something, you can start reacting to a particular food. And for that reason, smart people don't always remember what they ate 3 days ago and don't put two and two together. So that's something that folks might want to really start looking at in a more comprehensive way. I mean, I've got a chapter of that in my book that I would encourage people to look at as a very simple, straightforward, safe way to do an elimination diet, take out of your diet the biggies, which come to food allergy, and then see how you respond to that. Jacob, your thoughts on food allergy?
Well, it's a biggie, but it's, I think, a new phenomenon that's growing. It used to be pretty uncommon. You know, wheat used to be the staff of life, and now it's the stuff of allergies. So I think we need to look not at, okay, how can I cut out more and more stuff from the diet, which is not healthy and actually then causes more food allergies for what you leave in. But you need to start looking at why these food allergies are there, and not how to get rid of the food, but how to get rid of the allergy. So the key three things that are causing the food allergies, one, about 40 years ago, food processors learned that if they take the enzymes out of the food, these are the enzymes that ripen the food, it prolongs shelf life. But what we didn't know, and they didn't know, as physicians, is that those enzymes are also critical for properly digesting the food. Our body makes some enzymes to top off what's in the food, but it's the enzymes in the food that actually digest the food when we eat it. When you get incomplete digestion of the proteins, and they get absorbed before they're completely digested, the body has to attack them like an outside invader, and you're going to be allergic to them. So you have that combined with a leaky gut from bowel infections, candida and a host of others. So all of a sudden you've got, it's kind of like the immigration posts have all been abandoned, and you, that usually keep the food from getting absorbed into the blood until it's completely digested. And you have a lot of undigested food. So now you're getting the immune system, not just as you're getting overwhelmed, but you get the allergies. And then the low adrenal also increases sensitivities. So although the elimination diet can be helpful to see if it is contributing to the disease or to the symptoms, it is a bit of a pain, frankly. And for most people, unless they're really motivated, it's hard for them to stick with. But it is worth doing to see if it's contributing to your symptoms. And then what I do is there are techniques. One, you know, go ahead and take plant-based digestive enzymes, not animal-based. They don't work with the diet for digestion, but plant-based. Clean up the gut, give the adrenal support. That helps. But then there are a couple techniques that really are very good at getting rid of the food allergies. My favorite is an acupressure technique called NAET. We did a study treating food allergies in autistic children, and 23 of the 30 children in the treatment group were back in regular school after 1 year, as opposed to 0 out of 30 autistic children in the control group. So the NAET is very, very helpful. The website is www.naet.com, and there's over 10,000 practitioners who've been trained. Then there's other things like sublingual neutralization, Bioset. There's a host of techniques that can get rid of the food sensitivity. So instead of avoiding everything for the rest of your life, you teach your, it's like hitting the reset button when you have a computer program that's gone on the fritz, and you have, there's a button that says restore factory defaults, and you hit that, and all of a sudden the program's working again. That's what it's like for the immune system and foods when you do these treatments we just talked about.
In a few more weeks, Jacob and I are going to do a whole program on just this alone. So again, I'm viewing this as just as an introduction to the things that are really important in what kinds of things you want to look at in any chronic illness. And I'm going to agree pretty much with everything Jacob said in that regard. Yes, it's not enough to do an elimination diet, although I will encourage people to do it as a very empowering thing that will help you get in touch with what you may be reacting to, what you may need to do. And then you do need to look further to really get rid of actually the cause of what's setting that off in the first place. So, again, what I'd like to do next is to introduce you to the third of our sponsors. One of the oldest and best research supplement companies is that of Metagenics. It's another of our proud sponsors. I encourage you to go online to metagenics.com. And I would like to particularly recommend that you look at one of their products, which is called Ultra Clear Renew, for its effect on inflammation and fibromyalgia. Ultra Clear Renew contains a group of materials, which all of which have been tested thoroughly on people in research-published ways that specifically help to reduce the inflammatory response. So I will encourage you to all go to metagenics.com and look at their website for a whole lot of additional information. With that, let's go to another break.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Dr. Nathan invites you to go to his website, neilnathanmd.com, for additional presentations and blogs. You can buy his new book, Healing is Possible, New Hope for Chronic Fatigue, Fibromyalgia, Persistent Pain, and Other Chronic Illnesses on Amazon, Kindle, and through all booksellers. Information about personal medical phone consultations or office visits is also available through the website, neilnathanmd.com, as well as at gordonmedical.com.
How many times have you heard this?
I'm sick and tired of feeling sick and tired.
You are what you eat.
I've tried every diet.
Diets don't work.
It's time to stop this kind of madness and start thinking and feeling empowered to change your health. Tune in to The Raw Truth with Chef Sharon Fraser. Join us weekly for thought-provoking conversations with world-renowned experts in the food, medical, holistic, sports medicine, chiropractic, and naturopathic health sciences. The Raw Truth airs live every Thursday at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern on Voice America Health and Wellness.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
You are listening to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today with Dr. Neil Nathan and Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. If you have a question or comment for the show today, please call in to 1-866-472-5792. That's 1-866-472-5792. You may also send an email to neilnathan@earthlink.net. Now, back to The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today.
Welcome back to our show. I'm your host, Dr. Neil Nathan, joined by my friend and co-host, Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum. We've been talking about an overview of fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue called the Big Six and Little Six, kind of a concept that I developed many years ago. And we've covered the Big Six. We'll be covering some of the infections and things like mold in programs that will be completely devoted to those. So I'd like to talk for a minute about one of the recent big topics, and that is methylation. Methylation sounds complicated. A methyl group, for those of you who remember any organic chemistry, and I won't hold you to it, there will not be a pop quiz, is simply a carbon atom surrounded by three hydrogens, and it acts as a group in being added or subtracted from chemical reactions. That's what methylation is, adding a methyl group to another molecule to change its function. Sounds complicated. But what's really important is that there are over 150 really, really vital chemical reactions in the body that require methylation. Some of them include the ability to make energy, the ability to make glutathione, which is an absolutely critical material in both detoxification, removing inflammation, and taking care of developing energy in the body. And it's also critical for healing DNA when it gets damaged or broken. So methylation is a really important process in the body. Several years ago, one of our colleagues, Dr. Rich van Kooninberg, proposed that basic to all chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, he could demonstrate that a deficiency or inability to methylate could explain virtually all of the myriad biochemical changes that we see. And fortunately, I was in a position to help Rich research this and received a private grant to do that research. And we did a project taking 30 patients with chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia, and we treated them with some very basic methylating ingredients. Now, these are natural substances primarily consisting of hydroxy-B12 and a 5-methyl tetrahydrofolate, which sounds complicated, but it is just a type of folic acid. And with those materials, we were able to show marked improvement in all of our patients who had fibromyalgia and chronic fatigue. We were able to show that when we started the project, virtually all of them had marked abnormalities in their ability to methylate by testing, and by the time they had taken these materials for 6 to 9 months, all of them had improved to normal. So this began the process of putting this concept of methylation on the map. Unfortunately, my dear colleague Rich van Kooninberg died a few years ago of an unexpected heart attack, and we miss him dearly. But Rich's brainchild, which is the importance of methylation in all of these biochemical reactions, has taken root. And now many of you listeners are aware that there's a tremendous amount being written these days about methylation and how important it is. Unfortunately, a lot of what's being written, I don't think, is portrayed accurately. There's a tremendous amount being talked about the genetic component of methylation abnormalities. Now, we know that there are 39 genes so far that contribute to being able to or not able to methylate. And we showed in our study that if we treated with this program virtually all of our patients, regardless of their genetic tendencies, were able to get well. And so as I read what's happening these days, I see people getting very upset and very worried because they have an MTHFR genetic deficiency, and they assume that, my gosh, my life is over. I can never get well now. What am I going to do? I genetically can't get well. And I really want to communicate that's not true.
Let me add one piece of thought to that. The majority of healthy people walking the street have an MTHFR defect, or what's called a defect. I don't consider it a defect. It's a difference. It's a normal thing. It doesn't mean anything. For most people, they're healthy, no problem. But some of the labs will give the misimpression that, oh, my God, you've got this. You know, you're doomed. It's nonsense.
Right, and I appreciate your chiming in here, Jacob, because I get calls from patients who are literally freaked out. My God, I'm an MTHFR homozygous. What am I going to do? And my response is, okay, you don't have to do anything. We can fix that. This is treatable. So my take-home message on methylation is work with someone who knows what they're doing, and very simple, basic, safe materials can help you get well. Having said that, although the materials that we use in the methylation treatment program are absolutely safe and have virtually no side effects, if your methylation is severely compromised, you may need guidance from a health practitioner, because even minuscule doses of these materials may cause you to detoxify profoundly and get sicker. These are not side effects to the materials you're taking. These are what you're taking is working way too strongly for your system, and you need to cut way back in order to ease your system into it rather than get overwhelmed by it. So, again, methylation is a very important subject. In fact, just to expand on that a smidge, recently I've been working with, in a research project that we'll talk about later, Dr. Robert Navio, who wrote a fabulous article called The Cell Danger Response, in which he points out that the body uses methylation as a defense mechanism against infections, particularly viral infections, meaning we've been looking at methylation for quite a while as, oh, God, you've got a deficiency. What are we going to do about that? When the body recognizes a viral infection, it tries to hamper the virus replicating, because the virus will harness our methylation mechanism to replicate, to grow. So we are actually depriving the virus of what it needs to by shutting down our ability to methylate. So as with everything else, what looks like the disease may actually be a healing mechanism that we need to understand better before we jump in and mess around with it.
Neil, will other infections do this too, or predominantly viral?
Well, the one that he refers to in his paper, primarily viral, but it is almost certain that Lyme disease, co-infections, chlamydia pneumonia, mycoplasma pneumonia, all of the opportunistic infections that we're talking about will trigger this cell danger response. And in fact, although it is a technical paper, I will encourage all of our listeners to go to Bob's paper published on the Internet, and it's Robert Navio, spelled N-A-V-I-A-U-X, and his paper is called, Cell Danger Response. So we're beginning to reach the end of our glorious broadcast. Thank you all for listening in, and I hope we have been able to begin to teach you or share with you what we have learned about chronic fatigue and fibromyalgia. Please tune in next week when Dr. Teitelbaum and I are going to discuss specifically and exclusively adrenal and thyroid problems in depth. These are key and central to the entire chronic illness spectrum, and we believe we'll be both controversial and helpful by listening in next week. So thank you all for your attention. Thank you for listening in, and please be well.
Thank you again for joining us for The Cutting Edge of Health and Wellness Today. Please join Dr. Neil Nathan and co-host Dr. Jacob Teitelbaum again next Friday afternoon at 5 p.m. Eastern Time and 2 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. And this week, apply what you've learned today to enjoy better health.